One pass. The language in the main bill that we went back to, you're welcome to look at, but we set up a 7-member board, at least 4 of the directors selected from commercial liability insurance companies. The bill, as amended, had a 7-person board appointed by the governor, two shall represent insurance carriers, 1 insurance agents, 3 directors of the affected classes, and a public member.
Hey, have your own copy of the bill. Thank you.
I needed yours when I was standing up there. At any rate, I think it's from a perception that that might be a broader way to deal with it. In one aspect, at the minimum, I would say we should, on the original bill that we've now adopted on line 20, it says at least 4 directors shall be selected from commercial liability. That should at least be perhaps 3, or go solidly back with the section 80, and I'd like to entertain that for discussion.
Okay, Representative Phillips moves that we adopt the language section 80 of the 108 amendments to replace section 80 of the printed bill. Is that your motion, Representative
Yes.
Phillips? Okay, Representative Phillips so moves. Representative Bunn?
Mr. Chairman, if I might just ask of Representative Phillips, and maybe I'm not understanding what you're attempting to do. It appears to me as what we're setting up in the Joint Underwriting Association is an extremely difficult insurance operation to run that needs the greatest possible expertise in insurance activity that we can put into it. Do I understand your motion to take away those that have the, diminish the number of board members that have the insurance expertise?
Well, no, I don't think that, I agree with your premise that we need experts and people that know the field. But if you'll read the section 80, 2 directors will represent insurance carriers, but also participating in the association. That's one section. 1 insurance agents, 3 affected insured classes. I mean, people that are right there, hands-on, that had a vested interest and knowledge about the area. And I think that, from a matter of perspective and bias and involvement, would be perhaps a more cohesive way to work with it, and that's my purpose. And then the 1 public member, frankly, because it's already on there.
Okay, further discussion on Representative Phillips' amendment, the motion. Is there any objection? If not, be adopted.
Sorry, I didn't catch that earlier.
Okay, are there... It might be convenient to break for lunch if we concluded our work on the insurance issues.
Excuse me, you're going to do liquor?
No. Excuse me. Section 88 of the bill.
Okay. That's why I asked.
Thank you very much.
I want to make sure we finish insurance if we can before
yes.
our lunch break, because there are some people here who may not have to be with us when we get into hand-to-hand combat on the other provision.
Okay. As you know, this liquor liability issue has been a real stickler with me. And on the bill that we've sent up, the other sections of it, if you just wanted to pull that out, that 116 that deals with tort, and open it up to the insurance section of it, the liquor liability section, which is on page 11 of that, there's a variety of it that deals with the
Mr. Chairman, this is going too fast.
I think
okay,
I just lost you. And
okay. Start with section 88 of the package that we're looking at right now.
88 of 108?
That's 108, okay?
Okay.
And that sets up a PLF, and it deals specifically with liquor liability insurance risk, okay? Now, the reason I brought up the other draft that's passed up, 116, is because I worked on liquor liability there. And if you recall from our discussion yesterday on 3386 when they started setting up a pool and taxing people and doing all sorts of interesting things, I rained on that parade fairly heavily. And I brought up the issue that, of what I had in the original bill, and one of the alternatives that I wanted the insurance commissioner to look at was a system such as the Oregon State Bar for ELF, because that's been suggested as the way to deal with this problem. Looking at that, I think Section 88 would go a long way, with one exception. I want to do one other thing. and perhaps insurance commissioner or council could advise on how to do this. When we talk about liquor issues and the liability concept, both retailers and wholesalers should be involved. And thus, I would assume, is why they set up the wholesalers paying the tax to support the pool of money they created in the original act. So if I read Section 88 properly, I would suggest, and I'm willing to entertain comments on this, obviously, that we add a number 7, which would be on page 37, presumably between line 11 and 12. Now, conceptually, Mr. Chair, I would ask that when we look at setting up a PLF for liquor liability insurance risk, specifically, that they do so looking at both wholesalers and retailers and all liquor licensees, take in the whole gamut of the liquor industry. That's a conceptual.
Six.
What? Be six.
Yeah. Oh, it would be six? I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. It would be number 6, not number 7. At any rate, I think that would get at some of the issues that were debated in 3386, and then in the other in the afternoon's discussion, we can entertain the other issue of liquor liability. Unless I'm way out to lunch and don't understand what I'm talking about.
I'm still not entirely clear how you intend to have wholesalers as well as retailers participate in this scheme.
I'm not sure how it works, I'll be quite honest with you. However, they, as testimony has said, they're involved in the system, and I would think that when they look at forming this system up, they should look at everybody who has a hand within the liquor industry. And since most of the discussion on 1 through 5 G deals, I'm presuming, with the retail side of the industry, my intention was to also have them look at, when they're setting this up, the wholesale side of the industry, which we all know is the state agency side. And I'm not necessarily saying that they would specifically be involved, but I think it's an issue that ought to, a factor that should be included. I may be wrong, and I'm willing to admit that, but I'd like to bring it up for discussion.
Okay, Representative Bunn and Representative Burton.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any idea. I'm sorry, I'm not sure I'm tracking with what's going on here. Are you saying that you want to set up in the, that you, assuming we set up professional liability funds, assuming that that board decided the whatever board licenses, I guess OLCC licensed a fund, then your proposed amendment would trigger in? Or are you mandating that they...
No, I'm sorry. I've obviously totally confused everybody. Section 88 deals with the PLF and involves liquor. All I'm saying is when they would trigger that effect in...
Section 88 doesn't deal with that unless I'm reading it.
Well, it established that liquor liability, line 10 on Section 88, page 36. Am I just flat out wrong on this?
Well, that's if an underwriting association is created.
Well, what I want to do is try and get that specifically to talk about setting one up for liquor liability.
In the event of a joint underwriting association?
Exactly.
Mr. Chairman,
so in the event a joint underwriting association is set up under the scheme that we've designed for the bill,
right.
You would then add additional criteria once the JUA is set up that would trigger some activity for liquor liability. Is that right?
No.
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 If I understand, what you do is if in the process of establishing the JUA, the insurance commission would be required to not just look at the retail aspects of that, that is the bars and the taverns that are doing the buy drink sales, but you would also look at the distributors of the wholesalers of liquor, which would include beer and wine distributors as a possibility of being written into that insurance, JUA, and the state as well, because the state is in fact a purveyor of wholesaler liquor.
Yes.
So that's what you're saying, is you have to include the larger aspect of the liquor industry, if you would, as well as the
that's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, Representative Hanlon.
Well, let me confuse it a bit more, Representative Phillips, because that isn't what this says. It says, if a market assistance plan or a JUA, so the, and then it goes on to say, the insurance commissioner shall establish special risk classifications for the liquor industry based on experience. And it really, therefore, it is not tied to the establishment of a JUA under the way it's written. So I guess I have the same question. It is not.
Well, wouldn't it be tied, Mr. Chairman? Wouldn't it be tied either to a JUA or a market assistance program?
Either or.
One of the two?
That's the triggering factor, is if there's a marketing plan formed or a JUA formed, and then it says there shall be classifications developed by the commissioner without necessarily hooking up those classifications. Encouragements to the establishment of a market assistance plan or a JUA. Maybe what you're saying, Representative Phillips, is that you want, if either of these things occur, that the risk classification and rating plans shall be developed and shall include all elements of the liquor industry, including wholesalers. I don't know.
Representative Phillips, are we getting closer? I'm still not sure that we're stating what it is you want to accomplish here.
Yes, we're getting much closer. In fact, Representative Burton said what I meant to say much better than I said it. What I want to get at is, if a market assistance plan is set up or a JUA is set up dealing with liquor liability, that the whole industry is examined and involved. And by that, I mean wholesalers, distributors, and retailers.
Okay, it's my understanding that a wholesaler, anyone that's involved with alcohol in a commercial sense, is subject to a license.
Okay.
And that as a condition of that license, that's the mechanism by which they, quote, would be required to participate.
Well, that would be my hope, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I see Mr. Burns indicating that's not necessarily the case.
So you would include OLCC as well as anyone who has a license?
The testimony was that they're the major wholesaler, and which I think everybody recognizes is in fact the case.
Right. But they're not a licensee technically under the statutes, and you would want them to be a part of it.
Yeah, okay. You're correct. I want people that are involved doing it, whether they're licensed or because they're the state, they don't have to get a license.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
What if we were to, on line 13, on page 36, see if this would do it, and I'd ask staff to, this might, may not, but anyway, it says, you read up here and it says they can, that the commissioner can form a market assistance and a JUA, and it shall by rule establish, and you get down here, classifications necessary to facilitate the availability and affordability of this commercial product. What if we added the phrase, for both the retail and wholesale industry?
But Mr. Chair, I appreciate your help, Billy. But why don't I do this? Conceptually, I think people understand what I'm going after. And maybe we could ask counsel to draft up the legal language, either Billy's suggestion or my, whether Representative Hanlon and Representative Bellamy are correct on the location or I'm correct in setting up a separate section. I don't want to quibble over that. I think people understand if a market assistance or a JUA is set up, that they will consider the whole industry, including liquor licensees and the state, as a wholesaler. Yeah. Take that as a conceptual amendment.
Representative Hanlon is correct. That basically, you have to do with the opening paragraph in that section 88 is reverse the language so that you say, in the process of setting it up, you will take these into consideration.
I think conceptually that's what I'd like to move, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Phillips, may I request that perhaps over the lunch hour you and counsel and Mr. Miller just have a quick huddle and write the language that you feel is going to accomplish that, we'll Xerox a copy and have that for everybody.
That'd be great.
Okay. Anyone else who wants to participate in that short of a quorum, welcome to do so. Okay, are there other insurance-related issues that we want to raise before we take our break for lunch and come back to deal with the tort issues?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dix.
I hate to be a stick in the mud, and I'm asking this question because I can cancel my plans, but are we going to go much past 3:30, do you think?
I hope not.
Okay.
That's kind of a definite maybe, but that's the best I can tell you.
I was just going to say, what do you want to say?
I'd like to say an hour. Council reminds me that we need, for purposes of, before we leave the insurance issues, we need to formally adopt the -114 amendments.
I shall move.
To the extent that they're not inconsistent with any of the action we've taken on 108 today. Does that appear consistent, Council?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
I shall move.
Representative Bellamy so moves. Is there any further discussion on that? Motion on the 114 amendments to the extent they're not inconsistent with any action taken today. If there's no objection, amendments will be adopted. Any other insurance issues folks are aware of at this time, with the exception of the work that Representative Phillips is going to bring back to us? Okay. Mr. Miller, I think that's permission, and I'm going to ask the committee if we can release Mr. Miller at this time. There's no objection.
Happy wedding.
Thank you. I appreciate the exception, Mr.
However,
Chair.
However, he has to meet, doesn't he, first?
No. He does have to help us with that language, and then he'll be excused. Okay, anything else to come up before we take our luncheon break? Yeah, I'd like everyone to be back and ready to go at 1:15, please.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Bellamy.
There is, for the members here, there, the fish that we had yesterday, there's still some left over up there.
Got some.
That's what you
okay.
want.
Okay. Great, thank you. Apologize for a somewhat tardy start. Some of the establishments in town that are relied upon for lunch service don't really seem to run at full speed on Saturdays, so a little delay there. Representative Phillips, I think we had inquired if you were going to work on some language. Did you have a chance to put that in?
You betcha.
Okay.
Talking to the insurance commissioner and his staff, I don't know who else. On page 36, line 13 of graph 108, after the word product.
Hunter, hold on for a sec, because council apparently.
Stand. Page. Which?
St. Phillips.
Okay, we're looking at draft 108 on line 36, page 13, after the word product and before the period, insert the language which would include all facets of the liquor industry, including wholesalers, retailers, and the state of Oregon as allowed by law, period. I would make that in the form of a motion.
Okay, why don't you read it one more time?
Okay. Line 13, page 36, after the word product, insert the language which would include all facets of the liquor industry, including wholesalers, retailers, and the state of Oregon as allowed by law, period.
Okay. So everyone had a chance to note that amendment, Council?
Yes, I'm ready to do it.
Okay. So Representative Phillips has so moved additional language on page 36, line 13.
Sorry.
So further discussion?
Doesn't do anything, does it?
Well, the commissioner's office and myself thinks it does what we discussed. If you don't believe it doesn't do anything, you're free to vote against it.
Could you just read it again?
Excuse me?
Could you read it again?
Certainly. Which would include all facets of the liquor industry, including, and these are the operative words, wholesalers and retailers in the state of Oregon as allowed by law.
Okay. Further discussion?
Does that refer to the commercial insurance product? Or does that establish rulemaking authority in those sectors?
The object was to allow the rules, again, going back to discussion before lunch, the rulemaking to include all those aspects that are in the language.
Okay, is there further discussion?
So the purpose is to have that phrase modify and hook up to the rulemaking authority.
Further discussion?
And the other one was
is there any objection? If not, be adopted. Okay, I think that concludes the insurance provisions. Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chair, if I understand it, we've set up the auction for a PLF for medical negligence insurers by our votes this morning. Am I correct?
Yes.
Under those circumstances, I would move 324-22.
3. Okay, let's see what we're talking about. 324-2.
22. 324A-22.
Okay. Representative Hanlon moves 324A-22. Representative Hanlon, to your motion.
Mr. Chairman, we had discussion before this committee early on that made reference to the 1975 laws that set up a fund for doctors that was never used because of the challenge of the constitutionality. My purpose in moving this amendment is to repeal those laws since they've never been used.
Okay.
And since the alternative is provided under the language that we proposed earlier.
Representative Bunn.
It seems to me, well, first, we've had no testimony on, we've had little testimony on that earlier fund. I do remember Charlie Burt, one of the trial lawyers, saying that in retrospect, perhaps it shouldn't have been challenged. But I think that before we repeal that fund, we ought to find out whether it's viable, whether it dovetails with the possible language we've passed now, instead of just making an arbitrary judgment. So I would oppose the motion to include this repealer. I would certainly be open. I'm guesstimating if we pass a bill today that there will be a motion to reconsider one or more, and I would certainly support for Monday consideration of the impact that repealer would have and whether or not it would dovetail and which of the two proposals is best.
Chair, Representative Dix.
Well, we also heard from Mr. Nannetti on this subject, if you remember correctly, Representative Bunn, and in fact, I corrected him and told him that Mr. Burt did make reference to the fact that he was one of the ones who was going to bring suit regarding the constitutionality. And the OMA said that they had studied this issue thoroughly, time and time again, and that it was not, would not work out fiscally for them to set this fund up, that they had had actuaries look at the subject, that they had had both private and actuaries for CNA look at the subject, and it doesn't work to set the fund up, according to that testimony.
Representative Dix, are you referring to the Atwood study that was commissioned by the OMA last fall? Okay, thank you. Representative Vaughn.
Mr. Chairman, in response to Representative Dix, basically what their testimony indicated was that their actuarial study or their study and their testimony indicates that they believe neither that current statutory fund nor the enabling fund would work, either one. That's their attitude and opinion based on their testimony. But what I'm saying is that we ought to find out which one of those two funds is the best way to go. And we haven't really explored that other fund at all, and now it's being dropped on us.
Further discussion? Okay, if not, the clerk will call the roll on Representative Hanlon's motion.
Aye.
Bellamy?
No.
Vaughn?
No.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
No.
Stringer?
Votes aye. Motion's adopted. Okay, anything else on the insurance provisions of 323 or 324? If not, let's say Phillips, did you want to identify any amendments or begin to speak to the amendments that have been previously considered and or adopted relating to the first portion of 323?
Well,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Now, are we talking about 107?
No.
No,
I'll let Representative Phillips identify which set of amendments we should be working
on. The tort amendments that we voted on that have been adopted, that are sent on to full committee, are titled SB 323-116.
116.
They're in your folders. The work that Representative Dix and I put together to bring these issues before you.
Right here. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair. Representative Bellamy.
Do I assume then that the 107 we should really not be looking at, the dash 107?
Mr. Chair, to confer briefly with Representative Phillips, just to make sure we're tracking on the correct set.
So she just read the one.
So the 116 is the more.
Better version, yeah. Figure out what you keep and what you don't.
I need a
116. So do I. Tell you something, I'm in desperate need of a 116. My age of taking them and distribute them elsewhere.
Oh, you need a 116.
Okay. Let me recognize Representative Phillips, and then we'll try to make sure we're proceeding off the same set of amendments here.
The 107 amendments were the ones that Representative Dix and I moved. Representative Hanlon brought up some issues as we were moving through those that we amended in, and thus you ended up with 116. There were other issues raised that need to be clarified also, but that's why the difference between the 116 and, for example, there was a small change on line 2 or page 2, and another change on page 4, but there's other issues within the bill that also have been highlighted for discussion, but generally that 107 package is 116 with those noted exceptions.
Okay, so 116 represents the action taken by the subcommittee?
I believe that's accurate. Mine was in my notebook.
I know.
Yours wasn't there.
I know. I looked in my notebook and I know.
Representative Bond?
Yep. While we're waiting, Mr. Chairman, I have gone through 107, which is now 116, and developed what I think are some, what I would consider housekeeping amendments, and then in addition, some substantive amendments. And at whatever point you preferred, I would be willing to run through those.
Okay, I want to make sure that everyone's got a copy of the 116 amendments onto this. Who else doesn't have a copy of the 116 amendments? Representative Dick, Representative Miller?
That's it.
Is that it?
A few out in the audience raised their hand too, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'll note that on the 107, there's actually only one word different than the 116. Only one word than on the 116. And the other motions, amendments that we've put in that Representative Hamlin has raised are not in 116 for whatever reason. I have marked them on there so I can let people know what we in fact adopted.